Welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich.
And I'm Vera Sarzano.
And we are so happy to finally be back with you for season 6, episode 19. Ciao, Vera.
Quanto tempo, Nathan.
Veramente, quanto tempo.
You know, people were worried. They thought we had a fight or something.
I've been getting messages and emails from people just kind of wondering if everything was okay. Are you guys okay? Are you coming back? We really thought that we were going to be back in like a week or two, and it's ended up being kind of a month-long break that we've taken, which we didn't plan. We didn't know we were going to have. When we came back and did that kind of 30-minute quick episode where we gave everyone the update about, okay, well, we're having a little trouble finding people from these two regions, I thought we would easily get through that. But that wasn't the case, was it?
Oh, no. But we did it. We are here with episode 19, and everything is ready and scheduled for episode 20. And then we'll have zigzagged our way through all the Italian region.
I didn't realize what a big undertaking this was going to be. I'm so glad that we did it, Vera. I'm so glad I did it with you. I really wouldn't have wanted to try to do this alone. It would not have worked. And I have to say that these two last interviews that we have scheduled, I just finished one this morning. Really fabulous interview. I can't wait to share it with you, with Dan from Basilicata. I'm really glad to say that there will be no more long breaks. We have been trying for weeks, and then all of a sudden, within just a couple of days, it all comes together and we get the last two interviews booked. So tomorrow morning, Vera is going to be interviewing her guest, our guest from Val d'Aosta. And this morning, I had the privilege of interviewing Dan from the region of Basilicata, but he's not even in the region of Basilicata. He was in Vietnam for our interview. Vera, we're going to get into our really interesting interview with Dan. And then following that, we're going to have you share your segment about the region of Basilicata, some things that you're going to share with us about the region that are very interesting. Before we get into that, we're going to have an Italian conversation. Before we have that Italian conversation, we're going to have that conversation in English. First of all, Vera, I want to say, buon compleanno, tanti auguri. Yesterday was your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, it was my birthday, March the 2nd.
Now, how did you spend your birthday, Vera?
Well, I actually started celebrating right away in the morning as soon as I got up because we had a nice breakfast, something we don't usually do, you know, like big, festive breakfast. My mom made a cake. We had breakfast all together. We never do that, obviously. So my mom made the cake and I had the candles and I blew the candles out like, you know, a little girl and made a wish. And I got presents, I got flowers. So that's how I started celebrating. And then Luke and I went for a nice drive on the Tuscan Hills. We just drove around and it was amazing because it was this your typical spring day. We had some showers and then some clear sky. I even saw a rainbow just for me, you know, that's so magical. And yeah, and then in the evening, we went out for dinner, of course, my favorite restaurant. But most importantly, I got so many messages. Oh my God, so many messages from our listeners, my students, my followers on Instagram. So I wanted to say grazie mille a tutti. Thank you so much, everyone. But enough about me, because during this break, someone else got their birthdays, right? Nathan, you had your birthday on February 13th. So how did you celebrate it? How was your birthday?
Alessandro and I have been down in Naples. Alessandro went down before me. He flew down. And then I took the train down and joined him a few days later. And I got to spend my birthday in Naples, which was such a nice break. And this year, my birthday actually coincided with Carnevale. If you're in the United States, you call it Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday. And so anyway, that was on Tuesday, which was my birthday, and I didn't even realize it until we went out. We took the funicolare down from Vomero, where we were staying, which is where Alessandro is from. And we walked around sort of Via Roma and went to the Royal Palace and walked around, and all the little kids were dressed up in their costumes and they were so cute. I took some video and posted it on Instagram of these darling little kids. And of course, there was confetti everywhere because there was a parade. And it was just a really, really beautiful time to be in Naples. And I was able to walk through the parks, and I didn't realize how many camellia plants are in Naples and how beautiful they are right in the middle of February. So it was amazing. But also, the day after my birthday, of course, is Valentine's Day. And I've never seen a city so decorated for Valentine's Day before. They actually put up lights like they're decorating for Christmas. And there's all these lights across the road in hearts. So, yes, Naples is different. The way that they do things is different. And they really celebrate San Valentino. They really go all out. I've never seen anybody do it. There were hearts everywhere. So it was really, really beautiful and really great experience to be in Naples. Alessandro is still there, by the way. He's not coming back until next week. And then he informed me that he's coming back here for a short visit, and he's going back to Naples because he's got some appointments scheduled down there. So he's just living his best life, flying back and forth to Naples. Okay, so we're going to try to say that, not all of what we just said in English, in Italian, but some of it. And Vera is going to share with us some of the keywords and some traditions and some things to listen to in Italian. So go for it, Vera.
So we talked about our birthdays and how we celebrated our birthdays. Well, please do not say celebrare because it's a verb we do have in Italian. It's an Italian word, but it means you're a priest officiating a mass. So it's a totally different meaning. We say festeggiare, festeggiare. It's very easy to remember because you all know the word festa, which is party. So we are partying, okay? So not celebrare, but festeggiare. Festeggiare is the Italian translation for celebrate. And then I think we talked about this already. You say confetti, which is an Italian word that doesn't mean what you think it means. It's not tiny pieces of paper that we throw in the air. Those are called coriandoli. Coriandoli. That's how we say confetti in Italian. Confetti are candies, you know, the sugar-coated almonds. Okay. And finally, we have sort of a phrase. It's not actually an idiom, it's just a phrase that we use a lot. Instead of asking, when's your birthday? That sounds a little bit childish in Italian because yeah, we say quando compi gli anni. So we have compiere as a verb, which means to finish, and gli anni, the years, because on your birthday you actually finish, you know, you complete 1 year of your life and you get into the other one. So quando compi gli anni. That's another way of asking when's your birthday. And by the way, the word compleanno comes from that verb, compiere gli anni. Ta-da! And this is not going to be in our conversation, but Nathan, ti hanno tirato le orecchie per il tuo compleanno?
No, e tu?
No, ma mio suocero ha detto. Appena ti vedo, ti tiro le orecchie. So my father-in-law texted me, oh, happy birthday. I'll see you next week because it's his birthday, actually. And I will tug on your earlobes then. Because that's something we do. We tug the, you know, birthday boy or birthday girl lobe as many times as the year they're turning, you know, like 10 years old, 10. One in your left ear and one in your right earlobe. And that's how we celebrate. Yeah.
Okay. So you sort of tug on your ears, tug on the ears of the birthday boy or girl as many times as years that they are old. That's interesting. I never heard that before. Okay. Vera. Ieri era il tuo compleanno. Tanti auguri. Che cosa hai fatto per festeggiare?
Oh, grazie mille. Grazie. Allora, ho iniziato a festeggiare la mattina con una bella colazione in casa con Luca e i miei genitori. Mia mamma mi ha preparato una torta e ho anche spento le candeline. Poi io e Luca siamo andati a fare un giro per le colline toscane. Era una tipica giornata primaverile con qualche breve acquazzone e poi il cielo limpido. E ho anche visto un bellissimo arcobaleno. La sera poi siamo andati fuori a cena, ma soprattutto ho ricevuto tantissimi messaggi di auguri dai nostri ascoltatori, dai miei studenti e dai miei follower su Instagram. Quindi grazie a tutti, grazie. Ma basta parlare di me, perché anche tu hai appena compiuto gli anni. Il tuo compleanno è stato il 13 febbraio. Come hai festeggiato?
Sì, io ho passato il mio compleanno a Napoli. È il periodo ideale per andarci. Quest'anno il mio compleanno coincideva con il carnevale. Quindi c'erano bambini travestiti e coriandoli dappertutto. Il tempo era perfetto per e tutte le camelie erano in fiore. E per di più Napoli era adobata per San Valentino. Non avevo mai visto una città con le luminare a forma di cuore come quelle di Natale. Era stupendo. Vera, I'm so glad that you had a wonderful birthday. Since you and I have become friends, it's really fun to be able to share our birthdays basically 2 weeks apart every year. That's kind of fun. Even though you're not an Aquarius, you're a Pisces, aren't you?
Yeah, sono del segno dei pesci.
Yeah. Io sono un acquario, vero?
Sì, esatto.
All right, Vera, let's get right into today's interview with Dan Kidson from the region of Basilicata, but originally from Northern California, not far from where I grew up. I found it really interesting to talk to Dan, and I'm so grateful that he agreed to join us today on the episode. Dan is going to have you rethinking everything you thought you knew, and you're going to think after the time that we're done talking to him today that you might need to consider this amazing southern region of Basilicata. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Dan Kidson from Basilicata. Hello, Dan. So nice to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
I am so grateful to have finally found someone to speak to from this southern region of Basilicata.
You know, and it's exciting for me because I think like we're underrepresented, you know, and, you know, aside from that, there's a lot of people that form different opinions or go through hearsay for what goes on in this region. So I'm really excited that you're making sure to cover all these areas from people that actually live there.
Well, thank you for being the spokesperson for your region. I'm sure that there's nobody better for the role. Since I recently discovered you, I've been, you know, checking you out on your social media, and I can tell it comes through very clearly how much you really love not only the region, the people from the region, and specifically the people from your tiny little town. It probably has really impacted your experience there, which I really am looking forward to hearing you share about. So I want to just acknowledge that right now I'm talking to you from Vietnam. Is that correct?
Yeah, just a little side trip. Actually, before I began my adventure into Italy, I was living in Vietnam. And that was before COVID. And I had a life established here. And that was all interrupted with COVID, but it worked together with my desire to explore other parts of the world. So coming back here in the winter months to take care of some business, enjoy the sun a little bit before heading back home.
So is Vietnam still partially a home for you, or have you completely unplugged from there?
No, I've unplugged. I have a little bit of business to wrap up here. And so it worked into a little side trip.
Wow. So how long were you in Vietnam?
A year.
Okay. So do you speak the language?
Oh, no. And I don't speak Italian either. Google Translate is a great help, but you know, it's you meet kind people everywhere, and kind people help each other out.
That's the universal language, isn't it? Kindness.
It really, really is. There's really wonderful people all over this world.
Okay, so Dan, you and I are from the same place in the world. We're from Northern California. You just happen to be from right on the coast in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, born in San Francisco and went to college up in the valley, up in Chico.
I know there's a big leap between growing up in San Francisco and Italy, but if you could sort of give us just a little bit of a background on your life in California, maybe your first time visiting Italy, and then when did Italy end up on your radar?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I've always loved traveling. We're one of those families that really like to travel and explore a lot. So I guess I can thank my mom for putting the exploration bug in me. But really, when I went to college, I had the opportunity to study abroad and studied in England for a semester in London. And when that was over, it was a really big thing back then. To get a Eurail pass. And I got a 2-month Eurail pass, and I traveled all around Europe and really tried. It was mostly the southern part, but it was there that I explored Italy, but also Spain, Portugal. I mean, I made all the countries in the south. And so it was there that I really became exposed to Europe. And funny thing is, just to jump forward a little bit, my favorite country that I visited back then was Portugal, bar none. And I was blown away by the culture and the people. It was just, they were warm. I could feel the culture. It was just a fabulous, fabulous experience. And to be honest, you know, coming back and then getting into a corporate job for many, many years, it was always sort of my thought that maybe I'm going to retire or continue this next part of my life in Portugal, to be honest. So that was where I initially started out. When I went back, and I also did all kinds of research, right? All of us that are looking to study abroad, we do all kinds of research and narrow things down the best we can. And sure, all my research has said, to go along with what you were saying, a lot of people are saying, wow, Portugal is the place to be. And so I went back and I actually made a decision to rent a car and circumnavigate Spain and Portugal to look for that special place. And when I got to Portugal, I thought, okay, the Algarve is where it's going to be. And when I got there, I was literally depressed, literally, because my memory of Portugal was all this culture, and it became gentrified. Condos lacked the culture. Sure, it was a beautiful place, parts of it, but it didn't have what it was that I was looking for, that other part that's very important that you talked about earlier, and that is the culture and the people. And it was from that point, after one day of really being down, that I decided to continue driving and went on and said, you know what, I'm going to circumnavigate all of Italy. And that's where the second phase of my life continued on, was to explore Italy and see if there was a place that really felt like home down there.
It sounds to me like you know how to get off the beaten path pretty well.
Yeah, you know, that was, I'll tell you, it's funny you mentioned that. When I went on that Eurail trip out of college, that's when Rick Steves had his original book. And it was that book that really opened my eyes to exploring and finding the little off the beaten path places. Yeah, absolutely. And those special experiences. So was that, I loved that original book from Rick Steves. I've been traveling all over the world, part just for fun and part for exploring to find out where I want to live. I'm a big believer in, you'll know a place that really resonates for you when you go there. And what works for one person does not work for another, and neither are wrong, right? I mean, it's what works for you. That's how I found Hoi An, Vietnam, on a motorcycle trip through the country. And when I came here, I'm like, oh, I love it. I want to stay a while. So I was on a similar path exploring Italy to see where it was that I wanted to be. And before I travel to a country and I do my research, I make a Google map and I put pins every place that interests me. And then I make a simple path to go through it. So I, you know, wanted to go up to Como in the Alps. I wanted to snowboard up in the Alps and then head my way down. And 2 years prior, I had entered a contest in, I don't know if you remember this, but there was this contest by Airbnb for a sabbatical in a small village in Italy. I applied along with hundreds of thousands of other people. It was viral at the time. I didn't get selected, but it always interested me. It interested me with what they were doing in this little village. And it was one of my pins on the map. So I made my way through Italy, had a wonderful time. But when I got to this little village of Grottole, down in Basilicata, out in the middle of nowhere, I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with it because I felt like I was in a time capsule. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up, right, with those second and third generation people out of their country. And I always admired that, right? Those Italian grandmas, those German grandpas that have this old world way of living. And I admired that. And so to get down into a place where the little old ladies were literally leaning out of their balconies and talking with each other, and this just warm, hospitable nature of people, I fell in love with it. I did. I ended up staying for almost a week and really immersed myself to learning more about the town before continuing on my road trip.
Wow. Now, what year was that, Dan?
Approximately 5 years ago. Pre-pandemic, and the pandemic really put a pause on things. You know, it was like, it was kind of crazy. And so I traveled to other parts of the world until I could get back.
I think you painted such a beautiful picture with your words about those women speaking to each other. They've probably known each other and each other's families for generations, talking across the streets from the balconies or meeting each other in the markets. That is something that is still alive and well in small towns in Italy. And that is something that is, I'm not saying it doesn't exist in the United States, but it seems to be, we seem to be a whole bunch of people who live in these housing units that we pull into the garage, close the garage door, get out of the car, and then we repeat the next day, go to our work and come back, go to our work and come back. And our lives are these lonely lives spent sort of connected to people through this very artificial thing of social media. I think it's like a pandemic of loneliness that people are living with. And so the people that are truly desperate to break out of that, kind of doing what you're doing, or at least desiring to do what you're doing. You've actually done the thing rather than someone just thinking about it. So you find this amazing village before the pandemic. Now, before we get to how you ended up back there, can you just tell us briefly what you do for work?
I was in corporate America for 25 years. And then I had the opportunity to leave early. I decided that, you know, looking at my financial picture, I was fortunate in many ways, that if I lived abroad, which I love to do anyway, you can retire earlier. I'm very passionate about that. In that if you can, you know, all the calculations that we look to, they're about our costs or my cost of living in the US. Well, you take out of a lot of those expensive factors and you can retire a lot younger, even though I don't like to use the term retirement. I do own an Airbnb in the wine country of California. And so that certainly helps supplement my income.
Fantastic. Let's get back to Grottole. How did you, after that first trip and just being charmed by that little village, how did you, tell us about how you ended up back there? Did you end up buying property there, or how did that process unfold for you?
It's a good question. I mean, so I made friends on the first trip, the people that are involved with helping promote the town, that were part of the Airbnb promotion that brought the town to my attention. I became friends with them, all the people associated with, just really great people with a similar mindset of, that's around culture and celebrating the culture and the people of the community. And so, yeah, I was determined to get back. Now, when I was finally able to get back, I did also want to take pause to say, okay, there's that initial excitement, that rush, that love for a certain area. And you want to stop for a second, say, okay, is this, you know, where I really want to be? So when I went back, I did make it a point that summer of doing another trip of all little villages that I really wanted to go to in the South, because I knew I wanted to be in the South. My experience, my personal experience, is that people were very friendly and open and helpful. And the culture was still rich and strong. And so that's what made me just want to look around and make sure that that's where I wanted to be. And I really, it just felt like Grottole just ticked all these boxes for me. It just felt right. And so then, you know, I did start to, after a short period of time, look for real estate. And I did end up buying a house from the church, ironically.
You bought a house from the church?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And a lot of people, you know, I try to interact with a lot of people on a Facebook page for expats, helping people out. And a lot of people say, oh, I've been looking online to buy a house. And I tell people all the time, only the smallest fraction of places in Italy are online. If you really want to look for a place, right, you got to know where you want to be. And then you just put word out that you're looking for a place. And next thing you know, people are coming up to you in the middle of the street, even though they don't speak the language, saying, come here, I want to show you something. And the friend of mine, you know, knew a number of places that that were for sale. And we went and looked at them, and nothing really did it for me. It just, nothing felt right. And then a couple days later, he says, you know what? The church is selling this large flat that used to be the Sunday school. And it was a Sunday school for, I don't know, like 80 years or something. And I'm like, great, let's go look at it. And he showed it to me. And, you know, you were talking about how being from the States, we're used to different things, right? And the place to me was perfect, right? I mean, it had big rooms and it's like, okay, this is the kitchen, this is the dining room, this. And it's so funny, the Italians, they're like, are you going to build a hotel up there? You know, what are you going to do? It's so big, because the Italians spend all their time outside of home, right? And they have these smaller homes. And here I'm like, oh no, this is normal, if not small for US standards, but for them it's massive. But it was perfect, and I knew it was perfect. And so that was it. I'm like, this is it. this is the one I want. And so I bought it. Right now it's in the middle of renovation. And so, and it's funny because I thought, and I've renovated a lot of homes back in the States. I'm like, oh, you know, little lipstick and hairspray. This is not much. It's some new plumbing and electrical. Oh no. I mean, this is Italy and it's a different construction method. And so it's more than a 6 month process. So I'm in the middle. But yeah, they find it quite humorous. And they're like, well, how many people are going to live there? And it's like, well, it's me and my partner, you know. I'm excited about it.
Are there people there that speak English? Does that help?
Some. I have friends that are from Argentina that speak English, and other good friends that are in town that do. So I do have friends that do speak English. I have a difficult time learning a foreign language. You know, in California, all of us in grade school were learning Spanish, and we get to, I forget what grade, let's say fifth grade, and then the teacher says, I think you should go on to more Spanish, or I think you should go on to French, because you're really good with languages. And then I swear to you, the teacher says to me, Dan, I don't think you should continue with a foreign language. I just struggle with it. I don't know why. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that coming to the South to say, no, I'm not going to learn the language. No, that's not, I don't think it's the right thing to do. There's an expectation from locals for sure that I learn the language. And, you know, most people are, you know, nice about it. Most people are helpful. So there is that expectation, but I'm a slow learner. But, you know, that said, you learn the different things for survival. I shouldn't say survival, but for living everyday life, right? You know, in the grocery store, you learn to look what you're asking for, the fruits, the vegetables, the slice of this. You learn the stuff to get by. And then I'm just going to build slowly. It's just the reality of it.
You have a realistic approach to learning a new language. I think a lot of people can relate to what you're saying. Vocabulary seems to be easier than sentence structure.
Yeah.
For Italian in particular, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So you're in the middle of renovating this beautiful former Sunday school from the church, yeah. Best real estate story I've ever heard from Italy. I think that's great. Sounds like an amazing, beautiful space, actually. So what are your plans moving forward? I mean, I know it seems like you love to travel. Mm-hmm. And see the world. Is Italy, and you've got sort of a home base in California that you can always come back to. Now, how do you plan to treat it? No, that's a no. You've unplugged.
No. Yeah, I have no interest. I mean, look, I'm a proud American, don't get me wrong, but I have no interest. All that you described earlier so well about people just wanting to stay home, and I might add to that, not only stay home, but then have Instacart and DoorDash, so they even don't leave the house even more. No, I have no desire. The longer that I'm outside of the U.S. and I see the way of living back there, Italy will be my home and certainly be a base for travel, for sure. But that's where I want to be.
When you want to get to Basilicata, how are you going to get, tell us the route that you're going to take to get from where you are back to that beautiful little village?
Well, because I'm in a small town here, I'm going to go up to Hanoi to Istanbul. Istanbul is a big hub, right? And so Istanbul to Naples. So Naples is an hour and 45 from my house, or the other airport is in Bari, and Bari is one hour from my house. So it's really pretty accessible to international airports.
Okay, so let's say you go to Bari.
Yeah.
The next leg of the journey includes a train or a bus?
That's funny. That's a good question. So we're going back to Naples, and then I'm renting a one-way car because I bought a whole bunch of stuff here. because shopping in Italy is not what people think it is. It's hard to find some of those creature comforts that we love, or that I love. It's kind of a little bit of a joke, but I rented a one-way car. And so I'll take a one-way car, bring all this stuff that I bought to our place, and then return it in Matera. And Matera is the big city, 30 minutes from our place.
What's interesting about Basilicata, for those who are listening to this, is there's a coastline on the west coast of Italy, sort of at the front of the boot of Italy, sort of at the where the boot starts to turn into the leg down into the foot of Italy. And then in the where the heel of the boot is, there's a bay there, but the majority of it is landlocked. I'm trying to see where your village is in relation to it, just in general here. Is it south of Matera or north or central?
North of Matera.
Okay.
And just for color, so for people don't know Matera, first of all, is fabulous place. In the last James Bond movie, the opening scenes in Italy, romantic, that was partially filmed in Matera and gives sort of a flavor for small towns and what the region is like, for sure.
You're saying that you bought a bunch of creature comforts on your trip in Vietnam. I find it interesting that you're buying things in Vietnam that are comforts that you can't find in Italy. What are some of those things?
You know, the funny thing is my experience anyway, is people think of Italy, they think the ultimate luxury, the high fashion, bespoke clothing, and certainly there are some places I'm sure that you can find it. But for the average person, the things that I'm used to, like high-end pots and pans, not that I'm used to, but let's say if I'm going to invest in something. Or the other thing is something like towels, to find a good towel. Now, it could be that it's a function of the average person's, the cost of living and what people make. And there's a lot of polyester down in the South, you know, it's a lot of fast fashion. And so, yeah, it's things like this that I'm going to bring back. I'm going to bring back some clothes. I'm going to bring back a lot of towels.
Towels. That is so unexpected. That is the last thing I expected you to say, but I get it. I completely get it.
The Airbnb that I have, I'm very picky about towels. It's just a funny thing.
Since we're talking about towels, let's just go there. What is, like, do you like the Turkish towels? Do you like the Egyptian cotton? What is the definition of a luxurious towel for Dan?
This is so funny. You know, I did look at literally going to Turkey to get towels. I mean, that's not as easy as you would think. Just like going to Italy for fashion, it's not as easy as you would think. Yeah, so here I am in Vietnam buying clothes and towels, but just a pure cotton, fluffy, heavy towel. You know, that's affordable, right? I mean, we traveled up in France this last year, and there was some amazing stuff up there, but it's really expensive, so. Yeah, it's economic as well.
Smart. I like that. Okay. What has your experience been like dealing with the services? Where's the nearest hospital? Or how does the garbage service work? That's always the complaint and the concern, it seems, for people moving to Italy. And it's a legitimate concern. But what have you discovered to be the level of services available in your very small town in this sort of underrated and little known region of Basilicata?
Yeah. It has all the services, you know, and sure, some of it's about navigating and finding out the right place to go and things like this. But I have to say, if I'm going to get on my Basilicata soapbox, that one of the things that the South gets a bad rep for me, is for healthcare. And coming from the States, this is something that I'd have to say, quite honestly, is a real negative experience for me in the States, right? It's really expensive, even with an employer plan that we may have. It's really expensive. And even then, it's like, okay, I get my physical, but if I want to go for anything else, I'm getting older. Okay, then that's going to be out of pocket. And you have 8,000 out of pocket that you have to, it's super expensive. And I'll tell you, this is the first year that I was able to buy into the Italian healthcare system. And although the price can vary by region and is subject to change, I paid 300 euro for full medical coverage. And I had an employer still sponsored plan, even as a quote unquote retiree, that was really good. And I dropped it this year because it was costing me thousands and thousands of dollars, which I couldn't use. It's ridiculous for me. I mean, I understand it's a safety net now, essentially. So I'm sorry, I'm gonna a little bit of a story here. I had to go to the emergency room, and this is before I had the health plan. And I was worried. In the States, you don't go to the emergency room. And then if you do, and it's like, and it's supposed to be an emergency, but I need to call to find out if it's okay. Is it the right hospital? Where do I need to go? Well, I needed to go. It was just, I couldn't wait to see a doctor for, I needed to go be seen. And I went to the emergency room. They asked me what's going on. They said here, and by the way, the hospital was 30 minutes away from me. You were asking how far away is the hospital? It's 30 minutes away. And I waited like you do in an emergency room, and finally was seen. They drew blood, and finally ended up talking to a doctor, and he says, here's what I think is going on, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, where do I pay? And they said, no, you don't pay. We don't have a way for you to pay. There's no fee. There's just, you know, we go and follow up with this doctor at the hospital. So, you know, so first of all, it cost me less. The thing about healthcare is it's about if you feel you need to be seen, you're seen. So there is a clinic in the village. Most every village has a clinic. And you go, you need to see the doctor, you go, and sure, you have to wait because it's not like a whole appointment system and it's booked up for months. You go and you wait your turn to see the doctor. So rather than in the US, I'm used to, I'm not going to go to the doctor unless I absolutely have to because it's going to cost me thousands, and to a place where, hey, I'm not feeling well and I'd like to talk to a doctor about it, fine. Go, you could see a doctor. And if the doctor says there's something going on, here's a slip. And go to this other doctor that's a specialist. You know, it's about really taking care of you holistically, and the cost is minimal.
You are saying such relatable things when you're talking about healthcare. I know for our American listeners in particular, which is about 75% of the listeners of this podcast are from the States. The United States, I love it too. You said you're a proud American. I love my country and I love my people from my country because I think that we Americans are good people at heart. But the United States has failed in a lot of ways, failed as far as the food, failed as far as I think education, and really failed miserably with healthcare. And I've had very similar experiences to you with healthcare and limited, you know, because I don't really have health problems. But, you know, when I have gone to the hospital and you're paying, and up here in the north, it's probably a little bit different, but you're paying like $30 for a procedure, you know, or something like that. You know, it's like such minimal, like almost just like office, like staffing fees or something like that. It's just, it's almost like somebody's going to come around the corner and tell me it's just a big joke, right? Here's your bill for, like you said, thousands, right?
Yeah.
You've had positive experience with that. You've sort of debunking the myth that in Southern Italy, we hear these sort of horror stories of, oh, everybody's leaving. It's being depopulated. hospitals are closing, people can't find medical care. You're saying that 30 minutes away, you're finding absolutely everything you need and high quality doctors and medical services.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a major thriving, huge hospital. And, you know, in the Italian system, there are private facilities as well, if a person chooses to go that route. But no, absolutely, you know, that in Matera. But then also, I think it's really important that, you know, in my small village, there's this great doctor that takes care of everybody that needs to be seen. Like yeah, really, I think that's the most important thing is how accessible medical care is. It's a really nice thing. It's a very comforting thing. Like I said, I gave up my U.S. insurance this year.
When you're saying what you said about we avoid in the United States going to the doctor, we're terrified of calling an ambulance, we're terrified of, you know, going to an emergency room. But when you feel like something's slightly off and you want to just get it checked, you feel comfortable doing that in Italy. I mean, but rural southern Italy, I mean, how unfortunate for the United States and Americans, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, did you see the show Blue Zones?
Yes, I did.
It was fantastic, and it really resonated for me for the experience in the small village in the South. Yeah.
Well, you have certainly done a phenomenal job in representing this region. I am really looking forward to going back and seeing Basilicata for more than just a couple hours, like I did the first trip, sort of on a road trip. Can you just leave us with anyone who wants to visit Basilicata, anything that you recommend food-wise that they try, or maybe places that they visit besides Matera? What do you find to be so wonderful about your region as far as maybe food or culture?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, definitely Matera has to be a stop. I mean, going to see the Sassi in Matera is like nothing that I've ever seen. I mean, it literally looks biblical, and they've made biblical era movies down there because it looks that way. So certainly that's a must. But the other is getting out into the villages and experiencing the culture. You know, Italy has a lot of beautiful, beautiful places. But really what it is that really fills the heart is the culture and the people. And so to get into small villages and walk around and greet people, and they greet you and ask questions, and they love to share their way of life that's been going this way for generations and generations. That's in experiencing some of those things, right? I mean, people have been making wine the same way for generations, and every family makes their own wine. And in my village, you've got on the whole side of the village is caves in the side where people make their wine, and that they've been doing it that way for generations. And you know, you walk by and sometimes those doors are open, they invite you in, they want you to try their wine. So it's really what I hope people do is get out into the different villages that interest them, walk around, greet people, and really experience the warmth and the wonderful nature of the South and Basilicata.
Wow. Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate that. Dan, if someone wanted to follow you on your Instagram to see, or maybe any other social media, how can people find you?
Instagram is the best. It's _curious_Dan. And that's where I post. I'm an amateur photographer, so I like posting pictures when I'm really proud of one, and very active on stories. That's my number one social media spot. Aside from that, I'm very active on the Facebook pages for expats that are for Italy. And those are the two ways I interact and try to help people the best I can.
Fantastic. Okay. So _curious_Dan I have really enjoyed looking through your photographs. You guys need to go check out Dan's Instagram page. He is a really fantastic photographer and storyteller. I love the way you take pictures of your local people or anywhere you visit. Mm-hmm. And you share the stories of the people too. That's really special. You are a photojournalist, and it's very inspiring what you share. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. It's certainly a passion of mine. And I do hope when you swing back by down through near Matera that you will drop me a note and that you guys will come up and visit me at my place. And I'd love to share some wine up on my rooftop terrace.
You can be sure. And if I find some really nice towels, I'll bring some with me.
I'll show you mine.
Dan, this has been a real delight. Thank you for your time today. For I know you're 6 hours ahead of us in Vietnam. Thanks for making this work and sort of just being here and bringing such wonderful energy with us today. I really, really appreciate you. Is there anything else that I can promote for you? Is there anything else that we can share?
The only other thing that I'd really like to promote is the organization that really highlighted Groc Tillet. Is called Wonder Groc Tillet. And they're very active on social media, and they really do some great things with the community doing ways that people coming to visit small villages can really experience some of the different cultural knowledge that's there. So Wonder Groc Tillet is the organization that attracted me there. And so I'll send you the link for them too.
Okay. So anyone who's wanting to visit California wine country and wants a really, really good Airbnb to stay in, we'll put the link to Dan's Airbnb to California. Maybe I'll stay there. I've got family in that area and I'm always looking for a place to book. So I might need to book it the next time I go to California for a visit. Thank you so much, Dan. And we will be sharing the links to not only your Instagram page in this episode in the notes, but also to Wonder Groc Tillet, like you just said. So we'll have all that in there. Once again, Dan, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person in your beautiful region.
It'd be my pleasure. I look forward to having you.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, Vera, don't you feel like you now need to get down to Basilicata for a visit?
I most certainly do. And I, you know, it was on my bucket list and I can't wait to go and visit.
Okay. So, Vera, what have you got to share with us today about this incredible southern region of Italy?
Well, as we were saying, it borders Calabria. It borders Campania and it borders Puglia, okay? And of course, it also has a tiny coastline, tiny compared to other regions in Italy, because of course we're a peninsula, and it's on the Mar Ionio. So basically, Basilicata is that part between the heel and the sole of the Italian boot, right there in the middle. And it is divided into two provinces, Potenza, which is the capital city of Basilicata, and Matera. We couldn't find anyone because only 500,000 people live there, okay? So not many people live in Basilicata. And I don't know the statistics because I couldn't find them, but I think there are 4 million people from Basilicata living in the United States, in Argentina, in Brazil. Because every time I talk to, you know, one of my students or followers or whatever, they're like, oh, my grandfather who moved here was from Basilicata, my grandmother. So, yeah, I've heard more people from Basilicata outside of Italy than here in Italy, which is kind of weird. But, yeah, that's how it is. And a fun fact about this region is that it's also known as Lucania. That was the old name. And so as for the region, we call it Basilicata usually. And when we need a synonym, because we don't want to repeat the word Basilicata too many times, then we switch to Lucania. But for people, Basilicatese, it's on the dictionary, but we never use it. We only say Lucani. And if you've been to Italy, maybe you haven't noticed or didn't know what that is, but if you had an amaro after your meal, you probably had a Lucano. So it's very famous amaro from Basilicata. Now, Basilicata, it's not that small though, okay? Only 500,000 people, but it's actually bigger than Liguria, bigger than Umbria, and bigger than Marche. So it's like a not huge region, but pretty big. And it has mountains, okay? And like plateaus or, plains, and a short coastline. So the mountains are, of course, the Apennini. And then there's this Mount Vulture, which was a volcano. I mean, now it's extinct, of course. Million of years ago, it was a volcano, and it's in the northwestern part of Basilicata. And it's just unbelievably beautiful if you look at it at all that area. And there are some volcanic lakes around it, and the soil there is very fertile. It's perfect for agriculture. And there's also a river with a valley. The landscape there, it's basically agriculture. But Basilicata was very, very poor until a few decades ago, if not even years ago. That's why so many people left Basilicata. Anyway, it has a very long history. There were prehistoric tribes and people living there. There are dozens of caves there from the lower Paleolithic age, so actually very, very old, and their traces, like paintings and so on, are still visible today. And then that area, that's where the Enotri lived. I don't know if you remember, we talked about this tribe when we talked about Calabria, and the very word Enotri means vine cultivators. So basically, they grew grapevines and they made wine. That's why the word Eno in Italian is in many words related to wineries and so on. Anyway, and then it was colonized by the Greeks, of course. Remember the Bagna Grecia and the whole southern part of Italy. And there were several Greek settlements there, and some of them are still visible now. And then after the Greeks, we got the Romans, of course, and then the Byzantines, and then the Norman civilization. And let's say that in the Middle Ages, the now region of Basilicata, the modern region of Basilicata, was part of the kingdom of Naples. Okay, so they worked together. But it was very, very poor, and like not a lot of luck for this region. They had invasions, they had earthquakes in their history, economic struggles, of course. And during the unification of Italy, so let's say mid-1800s on, Basilicata experienced like social unrest, social riots, and poverty. Yes, it was basically the poorest probably region in Italy. And the territory, the land, was really exploited too much, and that contributed to underdevelopment. So basically, that's why people left, okay? During the Phases period, it was sort of modernized. They brought railways and they built roads and sewage system, because can you believe that until the 30s or 40s it didn't have that? And luckily, that at least one thing, during World War II, that part was not bombed, okay? And it was preserved, at least this. Even during war, they forgot about Basilicata. It's such a tiny, region, and nobody thinks about it. And that actually made what we know about Basilicata today possible, because the most striking, amazing, unique, unbelievable feature in Basilicata is the very city of Matera, so one of the two provinces, which is one of the world's oldest continuously inhabited cities. So basically, people have been living there for centuries, millennia, and it's famous for its Sassi, I Sassi di Matera. Now, Sassi means stones, little, so not huge boulders, just stones, right? And those are ancient cave dwellings. They were actually carved in the limestone cliffs on which Matera was built. And these dwellings, they had this facade that are the same color as honey. And they date back to prehistoric times. That's how old they are. But people lived in those until very, very recently. They serve as homes, churches, other structures. It was basically the whole city. And all these sassi, all these caves, they were connected with like narrow passages and alleys and staircases. And you just have to look for Sassi di Matera, just Google it, because it's just unbelievable. And of course, if you go there, that's something you want to visit. And while you're there, you can drink and eat, because yeah, it's a small region. It was very poor. Only 500,000 people live there, but oh, they can cook, right? Very telling. Okay, so we have pane. The most famous thing about Basilicata is pane, bread. That's it. It's a very unique, very good bread, and you just have to try it. And then another specialty is La Lucanica, so from the name Lucania, right? Di Picerno, which is a sausage. You know, I have like told you, every single region has its own sausage. We like sausages, okay, just in case. And this specific one has fennel in it. And then, of course, they grow eggplants, beans, they make olive oil and wine, like Aglianico. Aglianico del Vulture is a DOCG, and it's really, really good. And then they have like a special focaccia that is called a strazzata, that is like focaccia with pepper. And they have, I hope I pronounce it correctly, but yes, something called like cialletta, which is a cold soup with bread, stale bread, and fresh vegetables. And then they have a corn focaccia bread, which is terchiola, and calzone, so it's a sort of, you know, folded pizza, and fish and meat, and Amaro Lucano that was created in 1894 by Pasquale Vena, and it was like herbs and sugar mixed together, and we drink it after a meal. Nate, you know how I always take notes for our episodes, right? I have paper right in front of me. And I wrote this a month ago when I thought we were about to do the Basilicata episode. But then life happened. We couldn't find anyone. And here we are. We're talking about the song now. And I had to change it. I mean, not even change it. Okay, that's so funny. We had the Sanremo Festival a few weeks ago, right? The Italian Music Festival. And a young singer won Sanremo this year. Her name is Angelina Mango. She's 21, 22, I guess. Very, very young singer. And she won with her own song. But, you know, the festival is like on 3 or 4 nights. And they had the singers sing a different song for one of those nights. And she decided to sing probably her father's best known song. And her father was Mango. And he was the singer I was about to recommend. And she sang the song I was about to recommend. Because Mango was, unfortunately, he passed away when she was very young. And he was very young. Yeah, she was like 12, I guess, when her father died about 10 years ago. And his name was Mango. The song is La Rondine, the swallow, like the bird. So my suggestion was listen to Mango, Pino Mango, so her father's version. Well, the only one, the only version that was available 3 weeks ago, La Rondine. And now you can listen to that and to Angelina Mango's, so his daughter's version of La Rondine, very impressive, or the song with which she won the festival, which is La cumbia della noia, la cumbia della noia. So basically what happened when I wrote this notes for this episode, I started humming to myself La Rondine all the time, because of course, you know, when you hear a song and it's just stuck in your head. And then Angelina, a few days later, sang it at Sanremo. So we've been listening to La Rondine all the time, and it's been a month. Okay, that I keep singing, nonostante tu sia la mia rondine andata via. So please give me any other suggestion, any other song, because I need to get La Rondine out of my head now.
Now, I have a question for you, Vera. I watched Sanremo this year as well, and I really enjoyed it. It's become part of my yearly tradition. You know, it's right around my birthday that they do it. So I sort of like, I love this time of the year, the decorations. I love the chiacchiere, the crostoli. This is like a really wonderful time of the year. And I watched it. Alessandro told me the whole thing, you know, that story, that her father, Mango. Now, what is his first name again?
Pino. P-I-N-O.
Pino. Okay. Pino Mango.
Pine tree. Yes, I know. But it's usually okay. A shorter version of Giuseppino or Giuseppe.
Got it. Okay. Pino Mango. And Alessandro told me that it was very sad because everyone loved him and he died while performing on stage. Isn't that correct?
It is. Yeah, it is correct. It was really terrible.
So that's pretty amazing that she brought that song and sang it at Sanremo. It was a big deal. And, you know, when you don't live in Italy and you don't watch Italian TV, you don't even know that Sanremo exists. You don't know any of these singers. You don't know any of this stuff, you know. But when you're here, you start to love and care about the music and the people and the performers and the hosts. I know Vera really loves music. She really loves Italian music. And she really loves TV.
Yeah, especially Sanremo. It's like the best show of the year.
In case you can't tell, Vera is being sarcastic and she's being a spoil sport, and she's, as typical Vera style, she's raining on the Italian parade, right?
Yes, I am.
Vera told me the other day in a casual conversation that she hates music. I was like, excuse me? Like, I don't understand what you're even saying. You hate what kind of music? No, I just hate music. I don't like it. I don't need it in my life. I don't listen to it. And I'm just like, well, what do you do when you're in the car? I just drive in silence. What in the world? How, like, are you sure you're even human? Do you have a soul? Do you have a heart?
I'm not the only one, you know, that I found my little community. We don't have a name for this mental illness, but
I could come up with a name for you real easily, but I'm going to choose not to. Anyway, I was watching Sanremo when Pino Mango's daughter was on stage, and it was really touching, and she did a really good job singing. I don't really love the song that she sang that she won with, but I did like the song that she sang of her father's. Now, if you want another song in your head, because I know how much you love music, and you said you need this different song in your head, I have the perfect song for you. And it was my favorite song from Sanremo. And it was by, it's by the group Povere, Ricchi e Povere.
Oh my God, Sanremo from the 50s or what?
They came back with a new song. Did you hear it?
No.
Oh gosh, it's really catchy and it's really good. Now, what is the name of the group again? Ricchi e Poveri?
I poveri, the riches and the poor in the plural. So rich and poor.
Ricchi e Poveri. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a man and a woman, right? Are they married?
Oh no, it's only two now. There were four of them. Probably two died. I don't know. Yeah, it was a group. Those are the ones that sang Che confusione sarà perché ti amo. Those ones.
Yeah. Well, they came up with a new song. It's really funny. It's like Giro Giro or something like that. I'm going to let you listen to it and you tell me what you think. It'll be stuck in your head. Okay, Vera, thank you so much for sharing about Basilicata and about that song. We're actually going to be sharing that in our surrounding sounds in a little bit, some of those sounds from Sanremo. and some of that music that you just discussed. Now, before we get into our surrounding sounds, do you have a movie from Basilicata to share with us, a film or a show?
I do, because many movies were actually shot in Matera because of its unique feature of the Sassi. And Matera actually became famous all around the world in 2004 when Mel Gibson had shot The Passion of Christ there. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It was kind of a big deal back then. And more recently, Wonder Woman, 2017 version of Wonder Woman was shot there, and many, many more. But my movie recommendation for you is, it's an Italian title, okay? And it's Basilicata, Coast to Coast. Now, I just share with you that Basilicata has a tiny, tiny coastline, right? But this actor and I think director, or he even wrote the script, I don't know, Rocco Papaleo, he's amazing. He's from Basilicata. He's like a comedian and an actor and really funny and really, really good. Just shot this movie, you know, it's like a band and they need to go on a tour and they decide to drive there. So basically they drive the same thing you want to do with our zigzagging, okay? But it's not America coast to coast, you know, it's like the dream for bands, and they do Basilicata coast to coast, which is actually very tiny. But you can see all of Basilicata and you can hear some Basilicatan accent. Lucano, l'accento, Lucano. And today I really need to do this because it's so special. You can watch another movie, or even better, read a book. This book is Cristo si è fermato a Eboli. So Christ stopped at Eboli, or simply Eboli in English. So the book was published by Carlo Levi in 1945. And then they shot a movie, and you can find it in English, and it's Eboli, okay? Or Christ stopped at Eboli. And Eboli is a town in Campania, not far from Naples, right? So why am I suggesting something with Eboli in the name when we are talking about Basilicata? Well, because basically this is a memoir of his time, I mean the authors of the book time, that he spent in Basilicata when he was exiled after being arrested for his political activism. Anyway, and he's like, okay, this is not even real. This is not real world. Christ stopped north of Basilicata. Christ stopped at Eboli and forgot about Basilicata. That's how he describes that region. You can also find the book in English. It was translated because it's kind of difficult in Italian, but if your Italian is great, you should definitely read it in Italian. And it really gives you an idea of why so many people from Basilicata immigrated.
I really appreciate you sharing that information about Basilicata. I can't wait to visit this region. I know I say that about every region, but every single guest and every single region has something unique to offer. And I really am not just saying that. I really am looking forward to visiting each of these regions. And we've got such wonderful guests from each region. I have to tell you something before we get into our surrounding sounds that I'm so excited about. You know, in our last episode a month ago, when we had the wonderful Victoria from Canada, who's up in the region of Trentino Alto Adige. We talked to her about her winery and her bread making and her butter and all the amazing things she's doing with exporting foods from Italy to Canada. I mean, she's just doing such fabulous things. Well, guess where I'm going this week?
No, get out of here. You're visiting her?
I'm going up there, and we're going to, Alessandro's coming with me because he's going to be back from Naples, and we're going to go up to Trentino Alto Adige, and we're going to hang out with her brother-in-law, Andrea, her husband, Giulio, and her, and we're going to have like lunch and dinner with them, and we're going to just taste their wine and buy some wine, and we're going to go visit other wineries that she's been wanting to visit, and we're also going to do some skiing if the snow is good condition. So we're going to have a blast. So see, I know I always say that I'm going to go visit these these regions and I tell our guests, I can't wait to come and visit you. And they're like, yeah, please come. Well, I'm starting with our most recent guest before this episode. So I'm really looking forward to that. I wish you could come with us.
Oh, yeah, I wish I could come too, but have a great time. You will love it there. You already visited part of Trentino, the one, you know, on the border with Veneto, but it's an amazing region with amazing wines, amazing people born there or who live there, like our Victoria. So say hi to her and have a great time and post a lot of videos because we want to see it.
Oh, I definitely will. In fact, I'm writing an article about Victoria's winery and what some of the things that she's doing. So I'm partly going up there to take pictures. That's my excuse, to take pictures for the article.
Yeah, of course, because Nathan cannot just take a few days off and enjoy himself. He has to work, air quotes.
How nice to enjoy my work as much as I do, though, right? That just like you. I know you have something exciting that you're doing this week. You're going to do some traveling this week as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to Milan because Luca's father is turning 80. Okay, so the big 8, yes. And he is having a birthday party, of course. He invited extended family. We are all going to a restaurant or something. And, okay, can I tell you something? This wasn't planned, but I had this idea. I sort of got the idea from a prank that I saw online, and then I decided that was the perfect idea. So we are staying at his place. Okay, he's hosting us for these 2 days. So as soon as we get there, with an excuse, I don't know, I'm tired, I have a headache, I have to work, I don't know, something. I have this American journalist, Nathan, who really bothers me and wants to do a Zoom call right now. Sorry. So Luca is going to take his father out. I'm staying there. And I bought 80 tiny rubber ducks, you know, and I'm going to hide them everywhere around the house, but really well. And we won't tell him anything, okay? I'll just leave one in our bathroom, I mean the guest bathroom that we'll only use during those 2 days, so that when after we leave, eventually he will see that and go like, you forgot a rubber duck? What's with a rubber? Why do you have rubber something? And I say, oh yeah, and I think you'll find many more. And I'm going to hide 80 of them around the house. And he's got a full year to find them.
Oh my gosh, how funny. That's great. What a good idea. Wow, I'm at the... I have to remember that one. That's really fun. Well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for today's episode. But before we get into that, I'd like to take a quick moment to thank our sponsors. Babbel Language is a language program I've been using for the last year and a half. And I can tell you from personal experience, from someone who has tried all the popular language programs from Pimsleur to Rosetta Stone and Duolingo, by far Babbel Language is the best. This is a German company, and they have native speakers from 14 different countries creating very highly specialized language learning programs for each language, and Italian is no exception. They offer lessons to fit whatever it is that you need in the moment, whether it's just a listening lesson while you're walking, whether you have time to sit down and write something, speak something, or read something. They also have a wonderful podcast so that you can listen at whatever learning level you are at, whether you're a beginner, intermediate, or an advanced learner. I personally signed up for their lifetime membership, so I never have to pay for any of their languages that they offer again besides Italian. So when I'm ready to learn a new language, maybe French or Mandarin or Spanish, whichever language I want to focus on next, I'm able to do that for the rest of my life. The wonderful thing about Babbel is that with our link, our listeners get up to 50% off a lifetime membership. Now, they are making their lifetime membership a little bit more rare. So eventually they will probably phase out lifetime membership. I suggest you sign up for their lifetime membership while you can, so you never have to pay for a language learning app again. Visit imovingtoitaly.com, follow the links to Babbel Language, and thank you to them for sponsoring us today. Also, I'd like to take a moment to thank ExpressVPN. Now, recently I was traveling through the United States and Europe, and I was using public Wi-Fi, and I didn't have to worry about anyone that was on that same Wi-Fi network hacking into my computer or my phone or my tablet and stealing my data, which is something that can happen if you are using public Wi-Fi without the protection of a VPN. And you may ask, well, where would I ever be using public Wi-Fi? Well, in an airport, in a hotel lobby, in a cafe, even on a plane, your data can be accessed by another passenger on an airplane. With ExpressVPN, I also get to use my streaming services in whatever country I'm in. I was just in France, and I was using my streaming services from the United States. When I'm in Italy, I do the same. The great thing about a VPN is it tricks your device into thinking that it's in whatever country you need it to be in. So for example, when I was in Paris recently, I was able to trick my phone into thinking that I was actually in Italy, which meant I was able to use my Italian cellular data, and my phone never realized that it was out of Italy. So I wasn't charged any data roaming fees, which was excellent. Another excellent advantage of a VPN service, and ExpressVPN is the best, is you're able to use your streaming services wherever you are. You may not realize this, but Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Amazon Prime, they do not work the way they would normally work in your home country while you're traveling, because there are different licensing agreements in every country. If you want to watch the same shows and have access to the same programs on your streaming services while you're in Italy or anywhere in the world while you're traveling, you will need a VPN telling your device that it's okay, this device is in the home country where it's registered. It's really a game changer. There's very few things that offer security, freedom, and peace of mind while traveling like a VPN does at less than $9 a month. And the wonderful thing is that by signing up for ExpressVPN on our website at imovingtoitaly.com, you're not only supporting our show, you also get 3 months for free when you sign up. Check out ExpressVPN and thank you to them for sponsoring us today. If you're looking for the very best Italian language coach, look no further than our very own Vera Sarzano, our co-host here on I'm Moving to Italy. Vera is a language expert. She speaks 7 different languages. She regularly translates books into English from Italian and into Italian from English. We are so fortunate to have her here. You can sign up for either private lessons or group lessons on Vera's website at chichelanguage.com. That's C-H-I-C-C-H-E language.com. If you're feeling stuck and overwhelmed about the idea of moving to Italy and you just simply don't know where to start because you feel like your unique situation is maybe more complicated than most and you just don't know if this is something that will work for you and you would like to do some discovery calls, or maybe you're halfway through the moving process and you're stuck on something and you just can't seem to find the right answers, maybe you just need a little bit of therapy, so to speak, about moving. I can tell you, as someone who moved to Italy and has been spending time in Italy for the past 10 years, Italy is not an easy place to just pick up and move to. There are a lot of complications. There are a lot of mistakes that can be made. If you don't do the right thing, there can be lasting consequences that can inhibit your ability to live the life that you really want in Italy. Allow someone who has moved to Italy and made some of those mistakes to help you along the way. And that someone is yours truly. Not only do I have an entire network of professionals that I can help you with, real estate experts to tax experts, language experts, I personally will help you to get past whatever it is that's getting you stuck or confused or keeping you from realizing your dream of moving to Italy. Reach out to me directly at imovingtoitaly.com. Follow the links to Coaching with Nathan. There's a questionnaire that will take you about 10 minutes to fill out, and it will help you and me to understand what your starting point is before we start coaching together. Now, for the last year, I've had the privilege of coaching many of you and getting many of you unstuck and successfully moved to Italy, purchased property, become a tax resident, become a legal resident, get your citizenship, find a dentist, figure out how to set up your phone. There are so many complicated things that if you've never done it before, you just don't know where to begin. Let me be your guide. Let me be your sort of moving to Italy therapist. It's my pleasure. I have some availability during the week as well as on the weekends. So reach out to me, fill out my questionnaire, and I'd be happy to set up some time to meet with you. I do 70-minute sessions. Those sessions, which cost about the same amount as if you were to hire a good therapist to help you with any other personal problem, will help you to move forward. I suggest that you sign up for at least 3 sessions, whatever works for you. I've had people that have weekly sessions with me for months. It just depends on what your situation is. Reach out to me, coachingwithnathan@imovingtoitaly.com, and I look forward to helping you move to Italy. Okay, on to our surrounding sounds. So as Vera and I were talking about earlier, the last night of the Sanremo Music Festival, and this is when the winner of the Sanremo Music Festival is announced. And I'm going to sneak in there that song that I mentioned to you that I really love from Ricky e Poveri, so that you can hear that sound as well. We're also going to slip in just a little sound of Angelina Mango singing her song as well. Enjoy those surrounding sounds, and Vera and I will be back afterwards to say goodbye.
Che confusione sabato è quasi peggio di quello che dicono con te, però c'è un osso che di magico, c'è un osso che bellissimo. Dimmi quando arrivi, così ti tengo il posto. Prendo già da bere, i tuoi gusti li conosco. Entra che ho lasciato il tuo nome all'ingresso. Tanto in giro, da sola non resto. Anche la più bella rosa diventa appassita. Va bene, ti aspetto, ma non tutta la vita. Dici un momento, la notte è finita. Le stelle già stanno. Quanti disegni ho fatto, rimango qui e li guardo, nessuno prende vita, questa pagina è pigra, vado di fretta, e mi hanno detto che la vita è preziosa, venendo sotto salta sul collo, la mia collana non ha perle di saggezza, a me hanno dato le perline colorate per le prime incasinate con i traumi, da snodare piano piano con l'età, eppure sto una Pasqua guarda zero drammi, quasi quasi cambio di nuovo città, che stare fermo a me mi viene la noia.
Urlare insieme.
Lo urliamo?
Per forza.
Fammi leggere però.
Sì. Vince la 74esima edizione del Festival della Canzone Italiana al mio 3. 1, 2, 3. Angelina! Questo lo poggiamo, il microfono è questo.
E c'è la canta,
sì. La canzone, siete matti, ha detto
grazie,
siete matti.
Grazie, grazie a tutti. Davvero.
Non è quello, aspetta, ti do questo di microfono. Questo.
Dico, mi sento.
Aspetta, parla.
Well, thanks again, Vera, for sharing with us about this wonderful region. I'd also like to thank Dan Kidson again. even though Dan still traveling in Vietnam, he made time to be here with us today. He carved out some time in his schedule, and I really, really appreciate him doing that. So thanks again, Dan, for that. And of course, Vera, thank you for being here with us today. I've missed you.
I missed you too. I miss being here with you and having so much fun talking about the Italian region. And I'll see you next week for our last region.
Well, wherever you are listening to the sound of our voices today, we hope you are healthy and well, and we look forward to being here with you next week for the final episode of season 6. So until then, take care, God bless, ciao, ciao, ciao.